City Roadhouse presents Football Friday.
Play fake and Jones will be hit and sacked. And that is Nick Bonito off the edge. Big play by the four-year linebacker out of Oklahoma. Second and 16, Jones with pressure again. Tries to avoid Bonito off the edge. Steps up into a pocket full of white jerseys and down he goes again.
Empty set here. Salter on third down and short. With time, everybody covered. Salter, gonna fire into the end zone. And it's pulled in for a touchdown by DeKalen Taylor. Dupree for the 15-yard line. He cuts back and he's in. Touchdown, Colorado State. What a drive. They could go into halftime in a tie game if they finish it off with the extra points.
Third and five for quarterback Caden Anderson. Played effectively tonight. He threw that bubble screen. That is caught. Head to the house. Touchdown. Chris Durr. Wyoming. They needed one big play. And Caden Anderson and Chris Durr have just provided it.
Oh, boy. Busy Football Friday presented by the brand new Big City Roadhouse. Big City flavor. Roadhouse comfort. Michael, hit it. Hit me with it, man. Hit me with
Roadhouse.
It. There we go. That's how we start the show from now on Fridays. We covered last night. You're welcome. You're welcome, everybody. 24-20 Philadelphia wins. Yeah. Susan and Cheryl like that. Mr. Thursday Night is back and better than ever, Mike. We're 1-0. And lightning delay didn't slow us down. Although you texted me last night and you said, hey, lightning delay. Because I think the Eagles just got a stop and they got the ball. And it kind of maybe looked like some momentum was going their way. They got a field goal late in the first half. Or they got a touchdown late in the first half. And then what did you say? What did you text me, Mike?
There was a weather delay.
Yeah.
And weather delays usually help the teams that don't have momentum.
Momentum.
So
momentum.
I think possibly we should put an asterisk next
No.
Should take some of the home runs away.
What are you talking about?
Maybe forfeit some wins.
Mike, I was terrible last year in Thursday Night Special. I can't afford to do that. So no,
we're gonna have to take away some of your scholarships.
They covered the 8.5. Eastside Chris, you did. I was thinking about you, my friend Brady. I called Cowboys money line and cover. We looked promising until the delay. That hurt. P.S. The portfolio. The portfolio? Go on. I'm listening. It was a weird game, though. Did you see Jalen Carter spit on Dak Prescott? That's kind of been the big story today. And then, I don't know if you probably can't find the clip. I didn't send it to you. Sorry, Mike. Chris Collinsworth was like, well, let's just note that Jalen Carter got ejected for spitting, but Dak Prescott didn't get any kind of penalty for spitting. Dak Prescott spit on the ground, and Jalen Carter went right up to Dak Prescott and spit in his chest. The football players spit a lot. You ever watch Goldberg in the WCW? I mean, he was spitting every 5 seconds. Spit on the ground's fine. You spit at some. If you spit at the ground looking at someone, that's disrespectful. But is it a penalty? I don't think so.
If you spit on someone in real life, that is considered assault.
So like should he be thrown in jail? Should Jalen Carter be thrown in jail?
No, but I'm saying like spitting on someone is way different than spitting on the ground.
Correct.
I spit on the ground, someone could get offended and be like, you are.
Yeah, but still, it's like, yeah, you're kind of a jerk.
Yeah, like maybe he was. I mean, I didn't see it, but maybe he was saying something disrespectful.
He may have.
You're a jerk. Hawk.
Yeah. Did you just do the Hawk Tua thing?
No, I said Hawk.
How many Hawk Tua things did we see last night? Like on X, everybody was doing the Hawk Tua thing. You remember that Hawk Tua girl?
Yeah.
That was viral.
Yeah.
And then she like did your thing with Bitcoin or whatever and screwed a bunch of people over.
I don't think she did. I think she was a part of it, but I think someone was behind that.
Go Pokes is giving me an asterisk, too. What are you guys talking about? Big Hub, I think Carter. Oh, Carter? Yeah. Should he be suspended?
No.
No. Big Hub says, I think Carter should be suspended next game for doing that dumb stuff. I think the ejection, because it was early. It was early in the game, man. I didn't even see it live. I was the kid wanted to mow. We mow the lawn all the time now. I mean, that yard, that grass stands no chance. So we were finishing that up, and then I came in, and then they were replaying it all the time. But it drove me nuts hearing Chris, because Chris Collinsworth said it. He's like, I love Jalen Carter. Here's a guy that I love. And then let's just note that Dak Prescott didn't receive any kind of penalty for spitting, and Jalen Carter did. What are we talking about? Jalen Carter did, and that was a big loss for them last night. This
that
guy's
is
a
another
stud.
Asterisk we need.
No, that's not how it works, Mike. If you bet on the Cowboys to cover, you won money last night.
Asterisk.
No.
Look, does anybody remember the time Bill Romanowski spit in J.J. Stokes' face?
Yeah.
Like, we've known for over 28 years.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
You can't spit in somebody's face or chest, I guess.
That's at least a 15-yard penalty. He got flagged for that.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I believe he got fined. And now in the NFL, where they're a lot more strict on those things, they kick you out, and you're probably going to get definitely going to get a fine.
Yeah.
Like, suspension is too much, but fine the dude.
Jalen Carter did apologize, which I do. I like that rather than going off saying, well, he said a bunch of stuff and it's, you know, I won't care to go there.
And Chris Collinsworth and his plastic surgery agrees with me.
Yeah, he just said I need the buzzer on, Michael. It was a mistake that happened on my side and it just won't happen again. I feel bad for my teammates and the fans out there. I'm doing it for them. Not being able to start the game, even finish the game, it blanked me up. But we're going to get better. It won't happen again. I can make that promise. Dak Prescott, it was noted in ESPN that the video showed Prescott spitting in the direction of Carter. Not really. I mean, yeah, it was probably toward him, yes, but he like spit downward. It's, you know, look at angles, man. Prescott characterized, according to ESPN, the situation as a misunderstanding that escalated, saying he frequently spits during the game and spit ahead to avoid his linemen while watching Carter mess with rookie guard Tyler Booker. He said that Carter asked, "Are you trying to spit on me?" And then he took offense to the notion. Prescott said, "I wouldn't spit on somebody. I stepped through, and I actually said words like, the hell, excuse me, but probably even more colorful. What would I need to spit on you for?" And he just spit on me in that moment. It was more of a surprise than anything. We're talking about spitting, Mike. Lonster's on the First Advantage Hotline. What is happening, Cap'n?
Hey, how you doing there, Brady?
You know, it's Football Friday. Big City Roadhouse feel today. How you doing, my friend?
Oh, man, I'm doing great.
Yeah? What do you got on the docket tonight? What's going on in your world?
Hey, I'm heading over to Patterson Field tonight.
Oh, you are? I think so are the fellas.
They got
Loveland and Mountain View tonight.
You know what? Don't get better than that right there.
Who you got in this game?
You know what? I'm going to have to go with Loveland on this one.
Yeah, Loveland going to take care of business?
I think they are.
Mm-hmm.
Just that in Mountain View, they got a new football coach in there too, so it'd be able to see what both teams do here.
Yeah, no, should be. Hopefully, it's a good game. I love it when we get a good game on KFKA for our A1 Organics game of the week.
Yeah, me and the headset radio, we're both going to be out there.
All right, my friend. What else is on your mind? You spitting on anybody these days, Lonster?
No. Uh-huh.
No.
Yeah, the thing I'll spit is in the sink.
Yeah, I mean, come on, keep that spit to yourself.
Really? You know, I think both these players should be suspended.
You think Dak Prescott should be suspended?
Yeah, because since he was spitting, you both started it.
He's just spitting on the ground, though, Lonster.
I don't care. I mean, to me, I think they both ought to be fined for this, no matter what.
Oh, man. Lonster, normally I agree with you on stuff, man, but Dak is innocent in all of this.
True, but I think they ought to just give a warning to both of them. They'll both of them either cool it or else you will be suspended.
Should have had Jalen Carter clean the spit off of Dak Prescott. They should have had him, because it was like in his shoulder pads. It really got deep in there. They should have had him clean that out. Go get some like cleaner stuff and some paper towels and get all that out of there.
Well, from what I've heard, this guy has nothing been trouble for every team he's played with.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that was the first spitting incident or not, but it was. It certainly hurt the Eagles because... I mean, that dude's a stud at D-tackle. That's one of the reasons they can slow down the run. So it definitely hurt. The Cowboys ended up running for 119 yards. Not amazing, but not bad. And, you know, again, the Eagles get the win. So all's forgiven, I suppose. But, Lonster, what's for lunch today, my friend?
You know what? I have no idea what's for lunch.
You don't know what's for lunch?
Well, I don't.
Yeah.
There's a surprise happening. That's all I know.
Someone's bringing you a surprise, or you're going to surprise yourself?
I'm going to... I think someone's bringing me something.
That's pretty good, man. All right, Lonster. Well, appreciate the call, my friend. Have fun at the game tonight.
Hey, I will, too.
All right, man. No, I don't think Dak should be... Dak's fine. Even if he was spitting in the direction, it's disrespectful. Maybe... No. I don't even think a flag. Even if you could prove that he was spitting, like, in his direction. Although now they're flagging dudes for taunting like crazy now. There was a tackle on, I think it was Miles Sanders. It was an Eagles player, and he's up, he's like behind him, and he starts flexing at him. Sanders didn't even see him. They threw a flag for that. The NFL's getting back to their chippy things, and I don't like that, Mike. I like taunting. Let them taunt.
I think they're going to do this for like the first few weeks just to keep some people in line.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. Just... if it's in the middle of the field, like, don't get in someone's face, step over them, and, you know, cheer. But, like, if you want to flex,
like behind him.
You're not around, whatever.
He's behind him. How about former Bronco Javonte Williams, Mike? 15 carries, 54 yards, and 2 touchdowns for the Cowboys last night. You think Javonte Williams is going to revive that career? I said it on the Thursday Night Special that, hey, maybe Javonte gets back to his former self. 15 carries. He averaged 3.6 yards per carry, but he had those 2 touchdowns that really helped the Cowboys stay in this game and help me cover.
Well, good for him. I don't root for him anymore because he's not a Bronco, but I don't hate him.
Dak Prescott was 21 of 34, 188. No touchdowns, no picks. Wasn't sacked either. Jalen Hurts was 19 of 23 for 152 yards. Barkley, 18 carries, 60 yards for him. He did have the touchdown. I think that was the late one. But only 3 points in the second half. I think the spread was, the over-under was 48.5. Dude, that thing was looking easy. And then the lightning delay happened, and that kind of screwed everything up. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Eastside Chris says, you spit on someone, sit out until your team loses. They still got the win. Copenhagen should get involved. If there was Copenhagen out there, man, that's probably a 2-game suspension. All right, we got Benjamin Albright coming up at the bottom of the hour. Let's talk Broncos, Titans. Is this thing going to be as easy as it looks? What does Benjamin Albright have to say about it? Also, Ethan Bird's going to join us, one of our Wyoming Cowboys insiders. We'll catch up with him a little bit later on in the program. We got this is a Danson idea. We'll see how it goes. Mike Danson, of course. Our quarterback toilet bowl. We're going to do that today. What does it mean? Why is it? Where is it? How is it? I don't know. But just stay tuned. Quarterback toilet bowl is coming up later today. A look at the AFC West. CSU Athletic Director John Weber is going to join us on the show today. That's exciting. Game day. They're reviving game day around Fort Collins. Brian Howell's going to join us from Colorado. Do they have any issues against Delaware this weekend? What are they? The Delaware Blue Petals? 19 minutes after the hour. It's a whole show. It's Football Friday, presented by Big City Roadhouse. Don't you dare go anywhere.
What's happening in your community? Greeley, Loveland, and Fort Collins. Good Morning NoCo is on it. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sing it, Mike.
I don't know.
Are you okay? That
I was singing along with it, but I realized I don't know the lyrics.
Is that your singing voice? Is that that was interesting. That was good.
That's my singing voice with that.
You had me going, man. Welcome back into the whole show. It is a Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse. You guys got to get over there. They opened yesterday. Yesterday was the grand opening, so I know they're going to be adding different stuff, but this menu, I'm hearing great things about it. I will give you the full report next week because, Mike, you want to join me? I'll buy lunch. How about that? After the show. You in?
When?
I don't know, man. Sometime next week. We'll go over to Big City Roadhouse. Check that place out. You in? Just don't ask when.
I really like Micah.
How many times have you played that?
So many times.
Like, not even on the air. You just play it back there in your little cave.
I really like Micah.
All right, Broncos-Titans this weekend, Mike. We're getting back at it. Should be easy, right? I mean, this Titans team, they don't really have a good offensive line. They signed Dan Moore. He's good, but I don't know. I look at this, and this should be a blowout. This should be Broncos absolutely destroying Tennessee. But how good is Cam Ward going to be? I mean, his weapons aren't really there. He's got, you know, a couple guys that are decent. Former Broncos, a lot of former Broncos, Lloyd Cushenberry, Draymond Jones, and Cody Barton are on this team. Calvin Ridley and Tyler Lockett are his weapons. He's got Tony Pollard at running back, still good running back, but that was about all they had last season. This should be a great opportunity for this defense and Vance Joseph to let these dudes just really pin their ears back and just get after Cam Ward. Denver led the league in sacks last year, Mike. How many sacks they having? How many are getting on Cam Ward this weekend? Over under three. Over under 3.5.
Oh, over.
Well,
I'm
obviously.
I'm going to say five.
Five sacks. That would be great to start.
All of them Nick Benito. He's going to earn the paycheck.
If he gets five sacks on Sunday, Denver's going to be like, oh, yeah. We just got this dude for a deal, and he went off on Sunday.
I think if he gets five sacks, he actually owns a Walmart store. I think they just give him a store.
They should just give him a store. Yeah.
Yeah, there's one in Lakewood. They're like, that one's yours.
What do you think is going to be the stud on this team? Do you think Nick Benito is going to rise up and just, like, Patrick Surtain is the best cornerback in the league, but is there a chance that at the end of the season we're looking at this going, the Broncos have two potential candidates for the defensive player of the year? Is that how high we're getting on Nick Benito? I love this guy's attitude. I was scrolling through social media last night, Mike, and I was watching when Benito got drafted. And George Payton called him, and he was just flooded with emotion. And he starts kind of crying, but he was really respectful. And just, dude, this is a guy that took a little bit less than he's worth. He could have tested free agency. He could have taken a chance on himself this year and then tested free agency. And maybe he could have got up to that $33 million. But instead, he got a $70 million guarantee, so that certainly helps. But more importantly, he looks at it and goes, I can shave off a few, $4-5 million if it means that we can continue building up on this defense, that it might help us sign a Jonathan Franklin Myers going forward, because that's the next big contract coming up for the Broncos.
Also, he saw how much that Lakewood store nets, and he's like, I want that store.
Okay.
I mean, that's a long-term investment.
You're stuck on that. You're stuck on that. Halloween is getting close, Mike. We're in September. You see all the decorations, and you guys are rolling your eyes. Like, come on, stop. Let's get through September first. I'm telling you this because at On the Rocks Liquor, they already have markdowns on beer, wine, and spirits to gear up for Halloween. I got this from my guy Travis over there. Halloween is almost here, so stock up with scary good deals at On the Rocks Liquor, with markdowns on beer, wine, and spirits, sure to put a howl in your Halloween. Are you guys friends? Because you guys talk a lot the same. 29 minutes after the hour, Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Is this matchup between the Broncos and the Titans, is it going to be as easy as it appears on paper? Will Denver just absolutely dominate? And if they don't, do we start hovering over a panic button. That's how big I think this game is, because it's a game that you absolutely need to win. Let's see if Benjamin agrees. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Thirty-four minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show on a Football Friday, presented by Big City Roadhouse. Joining me on our First Advantage Hotline is Benjamin Albright, the host of Broncos Country Tonight. Benjamin, you haven't been spitting on anybody or anything, right? That's a pretty big deal. It turns out it'll get you thrown out of a football game.
Yeah, I really felt like the Eagles early on spit the bed in that one, but
there it is. I was waiting for it.
Yeah, it was fascinating to watch all that go down early. And, you know, if you had told me just 10 days ago that Micah Parsons and Jalen Carter wouldn't play a snap in that game, I might not have believed you.
It was the wildest thing, wasn't it? And then, I get it. Like, Dak Prescott, well, he says he didn't spit toward him, but he's just spitting, whatever. I couldn't believe Chris Collinsworth is kind of trying to compare the two last night in the broadcast. He's like, hey, let's just note that Jalen Carter got ejected for spitting and Dak Prescott didn't get a penalty or anything. I was like, are we comparing the two, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious. If you look at the multiple angle, if you look at the one angle, it sort of looks like the conspiracy theory stuff. And then you look at the other angles. We've got the spider cam now up ahead. Dak Prescott was clearly spitting his own feet. He was clearly 6 yards away and inside of his own huddle when he spit. But it's the tight shot, that close-up 8K camera gives you the foreshortened angle, made it look like he was spitting toward Carter. And then he walks towards Carter. He walks 2 yards towards Carter. And Carter thought he was spitting at him. He said, why would I spit at you, whatever? And then Carter just spits on him. And I'm like, in what world, with 6 cameras and 2 referees standing right there, did you think you were getting away with that?
I just don't know. It was great. I was impressed that Dak didn't even, like, make a motion to try to clean it up, man. He just kind of stood there. I know it's on his shoulder pads, but it, like, went in there in the crease in the front part of his shoulder pads. That's gross.
Yeah, you can't destroy the evidence, though. I mean, you got to get the ref. We're gonna get rid of this guy right off the bat. Bonehead just got himself ejected from the game. What are we doing here?
Yeah, and I mean, who knows if that lightning delay doesn't happen? Who knows? I know the Eagles had just scored before the half too, so maybe they had some of that momentum. But what an interesting way to start the NFL season, Benjamin. We got Spitgate, we got lightning delays all over the place, and that's how we kick off this 2025 football season.
Yeah, all for the Eagles to beat the Cowboys, like everybody thought that was going to happen. So that, you know, in the end, not a ton of football's back. You know, it felt good to have football back. We saw our old friend Javonte Williams getting a couple of touchdowns there for the Cowboys. You know, we saw CeeDee Lamb play hot potato with the football in the fourth quarter. You know, it was everything that anybody could ask for.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb, that was especially that was a deep ball. It was right there. I don't know that anybody could throw a better football. That was right in the breadbasket, and he dropped it. So frustrating night for him for sure. Benjamin, as we look forward, Broncos kick off their season coming up against the Tennessee Titans, and everything on paper and such tells us that this should be a Broncos blowout, right? Or should we be a little more cautious about this one?
Well, I mean, I think you're probably going to see a Broncos team that's in control throughout this game. Whether it's a blowout or not is, you know, remains to be seen. And of course, if you're a degenerate like myself, you're worried about that backdoor cover, you know, toward the end of the game. So you got to be careful on that. But as far as the rest of it goes, yeah, on paper, Broncos should pretty much have control of this game. You got a rookie quarterback in his first start on the road against the top five defense. It feels to be a recipe for disaster. And then, oh, by the way, the Titans, their defense not that great. They've got a few players on the front seven, a few players in that secondary, but overall that defense not that great. You feel like the Broncos should have a fairly easy time of this.
Now you got a few. You mentioned Javonte for the Cowboys. We've got a few former Broncos on this team too, with like Cushenberry, Draymond Jones, and Cody Barton.
Yeah. I don't know if this is the revenge game for any of the above. Obviously, the Broncos lost Malcolm Roach for a month or two with the grade 2 calf strain yesterday. So the nose tackle position for the Broncos going up against Cush a little thin. DJ Jones, the only guy on the active roster. You'd have Jordan Miller come up from the practice squad as well, probably, and then you'll sign somebody after week 1. It's kind of a a little bit of a, I don't want to say a benefit, but a break for the Broncos, because after week one, vested veteran salaries are no longer fully guaranteed for the entire season, which is why you see so many veterans sign right after week one that have been sitting out there as free agents. So there's a couple bodies out there, and they'll probably bring one in.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. You know, again, you look at some of these matchups. You mentioned the secondary for Tennessee. I mean, that might be the only. I mean, obviously they're excited about Cam Ward. You got Tony Pollard on this team, but a couple guys, couple, you know, safety, not too bad. Xavier Woods, and if L'Jarius Sneed plays, I don't know though. He's kind of questionable. But that's a decent secondary, I guess. So that's kind of the one thing the Titans can kind of hang their hat on.
Yeah. Getting a pass rush up front. They've got a real beefy three-man front there with Devondre Sweat, Jeff Simmons, and Sebastian Joseph Day. I mean, that might be the biggest three-man front in the league. But, you know, the edge rushers are just kind of guys. One of those I think we're pretty familiar with there. Draymond's over there. But, you know, it's not that front seven and those linebackers. Cody's not overly athletic. We saw that last year. It's built more to corral the run than it is to be a pass rushing front seven. So it's going to be interesting to see if the Broncos do try to play to what would be the defensive strength and try to establish the run in that one versus maybe trying to wait a week against the Colts, who are a little bit worse against the run.
Talk to me about RJ Harvey. A little drama this week, Benjamin, because he changed his number.
I don't understand this stuff. He's wearing 37, and I'm like, all right, that's fine, whatever.
Yeah.
I've never cared about that stuff, but there's such an uproar. Oh, 37, that's just terrible. Nobody's worn 37. Like, Sean Alexander wore 37. Who cares? And then he switched to 12, which is a wide receiver number, and now all of a sudden me, who doesn't care about numbers, like, okay, now this is weird. Now it just got weird.
You
got what you wanted, and now you've got, you know, Troy Franklin in the backfield over here.
It is something that's like, it just messes with our brains if we see, like, certain numbers, whatever. But you see 37, that's a running back number. That's fine. But putting 12 on there, I'm going to be so confused. I won't even know what I'm watching, probably until about week 8.
Yeah, it just blows my mind. Now, like, I was fine with it. I'm like, whatever. Now, all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, this is objectively worse. So, I don't know. People are weird about that stuff. Oh, 37's a backup number or something. I'm like, make it your own, you know? And they're all like, well, 12, he has got a chance to do history here since no other running backs wore 12. He's got a chance to make history at 37. Like, you know, like, pick a lane here.
Well, and what kind of history with, like, oh, the best running back to wear number 12? Like, how many have actually worn number 12, Benjamin?
Like, nobody. I think Ricky Waters wore it in high school. I don't think there's anybody that's worn 12, like realistically.
Yeah, so do we really want that award? Like, you were the best one to do it, but nobody's ever done it. But on the running back side, I mean, does it matter really who the starting running back is? Because is it basically going to be a heavy dose of J.K. Dobbins, R.J. Harvey? For the most part, it doesn't really matter who you name the starting running back.
Well, yeah, whoever takes the first snap, I mean, there's sort of a ceremonial import, but the reality is there's a platoon when you had Sean Payton. You're going to see a lot of J.K. Dobbins either way, and he's going to get the start. You know, he's going to be the RB1, whether he gets the first, you know, snap or not. You know, and then after that, it's, you know, it's sort of a platoon. I think the main thing is if you look at a Sean Payton offense, if you can't pass protect, you're not going to be out there as much. And that's one thing that Harvey doesn't do. In fact, they didn't even give him a pass protection snap in the preseason. So, you know, I would expect to see more of Dobbins and Tyler Bidet than probably you think. But they may not necessarily be getting the ball in those cases. They may just be out there and pass. But we saw a lot of guys like Javonte last year, or before that, Samaje Perine on third down simply because they could pass protect and catch the ball. And Sean Payton values that more than being strictly a runner.
That'll be interesting to see kind of how he uses those running backs this weekend. In your mind, when you look at this offense, we talked a lot about the defense. Obviously, the Nick Bonitto deal, getting that taken care of, I think is really exciting, obviously, for Broncos fans. Nobody has to think about it anymore. But when you look at the offensive side of the ball on this, in the skill positions, you know, even for Bo Nix, do you think by the end of the season there's anybody in particular you would look at and say they have the potential to be a top five at their position?
Man, that's tough. I mean, just based on the distribution of targets historically in a Sean Payton offense, I would suggest that, you know, Cortland's going to get the most of them. Evan Engram will probably get the second most. You'll see the running backs get a bunch. And then after that, you'll see Mims get some deep targets and a smattering of other targets for other guys. So, you know, the book on the Sean Payton offense is out there. It's the same offense, you know, roughly, that it's been for 15 years. And so, you know, you're going to spam a lot of slants to the X receiver, which is Cortland Sutton. You're going to get, you know, some sail concept stuff to the tight end, which is Evan Engram, even though he's not necessarily a tight end, more of a heavy slot. And then, you know, you're going to get the running back on those angle and choice routes, quite a bit of targets. And then everything after that is deep shots for the Z, which is Mims and sometimes Franklin. And everything else goes to that slot role that little Jordan Humphrey occupied.
Who do you see as being – so obviously you got Evan Engram kind of being number two as far as targets, but let's go specifically wide receivers. Who do you kind of see emerging? Because it's kind of – it's just really interesting because Marvin Mims Jr., Troy Franklin, Pat Bryant, all young guys that I think, you know, we're all kind of optimistic that one of those guys is really going to pop this year. Who do you see being kind of that Robin to Cortland Sutton's Batman?
Well, I mean, you know, based on the way the Sean Payton offense has gone, you know, you'll see Mims get his fair share of deep targets, I guess, but you're probably looking at the fourth most targeted, fifth most targeted guy in the offense at that point. Mm-hmm. I mean, the numbers might look good if he catches those deep balls, you know, but that role traditionally went to guys like Devery Henderson or Ted Ginn back when they used to play for Sean Payton. You know, it wasn't like a fantasy points merchant, but you could wind up with six touchdowns on the year and 600 yards, you know, getting one to two deep balls a game.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. How do you see this one going down, my friend? Last I checked, it was Denver. Is it still Denver minus 8.5? Broncos have any issue covering that?
That's a question. I got in there at 6.5 before it bet itself up. So I, you know, I got a little lucky on that, but that's the thing. You always worry about anything over a touchdown. You worry about that backdoor cover. You know, obviously they're going to want their rookie throwing the ball at the end of the game. They're not going to kneel it out. You know, they're going to want him getting the max amount of reps. So, you know, if you're a betting person, you may want to buy that line down to 6.5. Overall, I do believe the Broncos win. I believe they win by larger than a touchdown or a touchdown. And I think they'll be mostly in control of this one. Don't project a high-scoring affair here, but, you know, you never know. One could get away from you as you have a little – sometimes you have early problems with defenses, you know, early in the season. So not projecting a high-scoring thing here, but I think the Broncos cruise in this one.
All right, my friend. Starting off 1-0, it would be absolutely huge for this team, especially against a team that they're supposed to beat. You don't want to drop this one. How much are we freaking out if they happen to lose to Tennessee on Sunday?
I think it depends on the way you lose. You know, if your defense is getting carved up and the offense can't do anything, I think we're in full hot take nuclear meltdown.
Yeah.
You know, a bigger fire than it would take to spit it out. But I think that if you have a couple of ball bounced funny kind of plays and they get lucky on that kind of stuff, maybe less of a freak out. I don't know. I say that, and then you know how this industry is. How you know you've got to have a take, and so every talking head out there is going to find the most extreme take they can, no matter what, anyway.
Yeah, well, 100%, my friend. Benjamin, well said. You spit it like nobody else, my friend. And we'll catch up with you next Friday.
Sounds like a plan.
Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight. -8.5. It is a scary line. It's a weird line. He got lucky and got in at -6.5. You just have to worry about, like he said, those backdoor covers. And Tennessee could be down, you know, 14 with a minute left, my game's over, but they're not. They're going to keep throwing because they want Cam Ward to get as many reps as he possibly can. So something to be cautious of. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. It is Friday, so that will be later today. Coming up at 12:05, we've got Ethan Bird joining us. The Wyoming Cowboys are going up against Northern Iowa. Are they going to have any issue with Northern Iowa, an FCS team? Wyoming in the past has had issues. Cal Poly, North Dakota, last year losing to Idaho. Do we see that rear its ugly head again this weekend? We'll talk to Ethan Bird coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. And then we've got the NFL quarterback toilet bowl. What does it mean? Let's find out together. We'll be right back.
Kyle Johnson and Bruce Dick for the high school football game of the week. Fridays on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's a big city roadhouse football Friday. It's a new concept over there by the owners of Big City Burrito. If you haven't had a Big City Burrito, you are missing out. They're going to have a fun, energetic, casual atmosphere. Full bar with creative cocktails. They're going to have pizza, tavern-style pizza, wings, steak, and big city favorites. So there will be a section on the menu for their burritos. So, oh, I don't know what I'm going to have first, Mike. Let me guess. You're going to have a tavern-style pizza. Is that right?
You had me at pizza.
Oh, it's going to be... It looks good. The pictures, everything looks fantastic. All right. Busy second hour on the show here, Mike. We got a lot of guests. Just really trying to build this up because... I don't know, man. I'm excited for the Broncos game. This weekend's local games, I mean, CSU-UNC is interesting because it's two locals going up against it, but will UNC make it interesting? I hope so. People ask me, Brady, like, who are you rooting for in this game? I'm not rooting for anyone in this game. I do know this, though. If the UNC Bears beat CSU somehow, some way, that means big-time trouble for Jay Norvell. So I'm certainly not rooting for that. If I guess just read between the lines on that side of it. I want both teams to have fun, Mike. I just want both teams to have fun. That's where I'm going with this. Who are you rooting for in this matchup? You're rooting for CSU, that's right, because you're following the formula.
Yes, following the formula. Normally I'd root for UNC to just absolutely trash CSU and turn on the popcorn popper. But I have to root for CSU because go Huskies.
Go Poke says, I'm throwing the flag. You're all Bears this week. I'm not, man. I mean, I love Ed Lamb. He and I are friends. Jay Norvell and I would not consider the two of us friends. It's difficult. I'm always rooting for Ed to find success, but I also don't want the Rams to lose because if you lose to UNC, that is one step closer to Jay Norvell not being the head coach for CSU next year, and I don't know if I'm a fan of that. I don't know if I'm a fan of that.
So you and Ed Lamb are friends?
I think so.
I'm throwing the spitball.
What does that mean?
I just want to say spitball.
Well, it didn't apply to what we were talking about.
Like, that is one demerit. One
demerit
strike.
Thomas.
Yeah. That's two now. Why? Do you just wake up and say, hey, how can I take an award-winning show, which we are, by the way. I don't know if you know that.
You're welcome.
How can I take an award-winning show and make it take 20 steps back? Is that what your goal is? Is this sabotage?
And it's not even NyQuil this time.
No, it's just who you are, man. Just who you are. It's a lot of fun. Ethan Bird. Going to join me next. Can the Cowboys avoid a letdown? It's happened before. We'll talk to Ethan coming up next. Football Friday continues.